been on my heart for about 2 years. Actually, maybe about 3 years. Amen. I've had this message and just never had the opportunity to preach it or put it together. Just always had the title, but never preached it. Amen. Sometimes you get a title before you ever get a full-bodied sermon out of it, and you begin to study and pray about it. But I want to preach to you from Exodus chapter 15. I thought it was amazing this morning. Brother Eddie opened up about Exodus there, talking about Moses. And then all of a sudden in Sunday school, we talked about the Exodus. And then we sing about being led through the wilderness in the first song there, and falling, doing like Moses. I don't forget the name of the song, but anyhow, doing something like Moses. Amen. I'm not a singer, if you hadn't realized. And people say, how much music do you listen to? I said, when I'm in a car, I'm listening to preaching. That's me. I like music. I like preaching. Amen. I listen to a lot of preaching and teaching. But Exodus chapter 15, we're going to talk about Brother Eddie got us up to the Red Sea. We're going to get on the other side of it and shout with him today, Lord willing. And Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1. We're going to start there, read one verse of Scripture. Then we're going to read verses 20 and 21. So Exodus 15 and 1 says this. First, get the context on the other side of the Red Sea. They're looking around and they see Pharaoh's army dead on the Red Sea there, washed up on the shore. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Amen. Then you have there about 18 verses about that song. Come to verse 20, and it says this, And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing you to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Amen. I want to preach today, if God will help us, on Miriam, why are you shouting? Miriam, why are you shouting, as you would say? Amen. Anybody ever heard of shouting before? We're Pentecostal. You ain't heard of shouting, something's wrong with us. Amen. Maybe there ain't enough of it. That's the problem, probably. But I believe in worship. Amen. I am Pentecostal through and through, raised in it, cut my teeth on the back of the Pentecostal pew, so to speak. I believe in worship, and I believe in shouting. I believe when the Holy Ghost gets in it, amen, glorious things could happen. Some of the times in my life where I've been down, amen, it was just like the sweet Holy Ghost to come by and move on me and touch me and shake me at times and strengthen to me. And I promise you this, any time it's ever happened, it was something that strengthened me to my core. Amen. So we do believe in that, but we see here today that this is the first song that is recorded in the Bible, and it is rightly labeled, and has been labeled, the Song of Redemption. But we understand that it proceeded from the lips of a redeemed people after they crossed the Red Sea. This would be a song that I guess you could say, such a moment and such a song that you couldn't help but sing along. Amen. You ever heard a song before, or you were so worshipful, or something was so exciting to you that you couldn't help but at that moment but to be a part of that moment? Amen. It was so wonderful. It was so glorious. It was so spectacular what God had done that you had to rejoice. It would have been very uncommon for you. It would have been very strange of you for you not to lift your hand. For you not to clap your hands, stomp your feet, shake the tambourine, or whatever it is that they did. You understand? It would have been strange. Could you imagine here when you look at this, that the song that they said, then they sang a song, when it says then, it was talking about when they came on the other side of the Red Sea there. Here they are, this glorious song burst out. Moses is the song leader here. I was thinking about this. We've looked around, and if it be football, if it be another event, whatever it is, you see these stages. I was reading about stadiums for the sake of this message, and how the largest stadium in the world, as far as I know this is true, can seat about 150,000 people. And we've heard how loud it is in a stadium when you had, so to say, 150,000 or 60,000 or 80,000 people cheering all at one moment for a sports team or for an event, and how loud it is. They even talked about a few years ago a certain football team, I forget which one it was, that was so loud that the quarterback couldn't hear the commands coming from the sideline because there was such a roar inside of that stadium. Now, what I was thinking about when studying for this, if you can get that result and that much noise from 80,000, 90,000 people, can you imagine what it was like when the children of Israel, when that Red Sea closed and they're looking around and all of a sudden what had been a dream to them is now a great reality, and there on the shoreline, the men that had beat you and oppressed you and held you captive, had killed your babies, they're washed up on the shore, and maybe not too far up there, you see old Pharaoh there looking like he's asleep, but he's dead as a doornail. Can you imagine what it would have been like for a few million people to all of a sudden, when Moses right in the forefront burst out into one of the very first song in the Bible, don't you think it was something that was amazing as they begin to cheer and roar at the glory and the magnificence of God, because they were captive, but yet now they are free. They were in bondage, and you hear what I'm saying here today? Amen. You'd have been a strange looking person to sit there and just to be like, well, I don't know if it's all that to get excited about, you know. It wasn't that bad, you know. We had onions, and you know, if you don't worry about the whips as much, we had mud huts. I'm telling you, this was a song from a redeemed people. Amen. Once again, brothers and sisters, we are a redeemed people. God has, Jesus died on the cross, and we have much more to worship about here. Can you imagine as the men here and the women by the millions, they began to sing it out to the Lord, and not just sing, but I'm telling you, they sang. You ever heard that before? Well, I don't know, maybe back in North Carolina when somebody sang really good and the Lord was on them, and they said, I'll tell you, that sister sang tonight. S-A-N-G. I mean, the Lord was upon her. She was anointed. I don't know about you. I don't like dead singing. I don't like graveyards. If I were to live in a graveyard, I think I could find property a lot cheaper probably. I don't know. But I'm telling you, I'm not in for a graveyard. I don't live among the dead. I don't want to hang around a morgue. I've been redeemed today. Amen. It's not about trying to coach you into anything, but it's about you to get you to look back at the Red Sea, or get you to look back at your sins and look back at the devil and the power that he had over you, and for you to stand on this side of the Red Sea, on this side of the cross, and look back and know that you been bought with the price, that he did overcome the enemy, and you have a reason to sing redemption song. It ought to be inside of you. And if you don't want to sing redemption song now, I wonder what you're going to do in heaven when they're singing redemption song. I'm telling you, in heaven, you're going to lift your voice to the top of your lungs. You're going to know that you came from a world where there was sickness and death and sorrow and sin and murder and rape, and you knew there was crookedness and lying and perversion. And when you're in heaven and you're on the other side of the Red Sea, so to speak, there's going to be a song that's going to usher out of the innermost parts of your being. You're going to be somebody that's going to be a worshiper, a singer, somebody that knows where you come from. God wants us to understand this today, that it's all right to worship his holy name. Amen. We're getting warmed up, and we're going to keep on pulling. We're choking till she gets going here. Amen. I'm not trying to peer lead you into anything. I've heard people say before, well, let's move on here before I get there. Amen. Exodus 15 and 20. At the end of the song, or during the song, and Miriam the prophetess, notice she's called a prophetess. Many times in Scripture, prophecy and singing are tied together. There was Asaph in the book of Psalms, who was a prophetic singer. Wouldn't that be amazing to get, you know, I hope you're into getting new songs. Amen. Because Asaph would write a song sitting in church. He'd stand up and the Holy Ghost would begin to usher out of his lips, and he'd sing a new song unto the Lord. Amen. I love old songs. I love some of the new ones. But I tell you this, let it come out of a sanctified, Holy Ghost filled heart, and I'll get right with you. Amen. I'll let out an amen. I'll let out a praise the Lord. Amen. I look for you and said, I want to tell you something. We once again, there was a time in this world that the world was attracted to the Pentecostal church. And I like what A.W. Tozer, he said, they came to them, they would lift the church windows up. It said the lawyers and the drunkards would stand outside the windows because they sang with such an unction and conviction that it could only come from one place, and that was a redeemed heart. It wasn't stirred up by emotionalism. It wasn't brought up because they were born. They weren't just singing the hymnal. They sang for 30 years because they had it memorized. No, sir. But when they sang Amazing Grace, it was ushering out of a redeemed heart. It was something they realized. Oh, I feel like preaching here today. They realize that they've been bought, washed in the blood, and they have a right to sing redemption song. It said the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. A timbrel. You ever seen a tambourine? Amen. I was raised around them. I know we don't have one. We don't use them much here, but why not? Amen. You're against tambourine, and maybe it was basically a circle thing that had animal skin on it. You understand? They would beat the tambourines. They would shake them bells unto the Lord. All the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. Now get this here. She's dancing before the Lord. And Miriam answered, basically what she's saying is, you need to sing along. She answered, and sing ye to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. Now me and you have to bring that ourselves in our imaginations to the place where the song was sung. Firstly, remind yourself that they had been delivered from a great oppression. They had seen great signs and wonders. They had seen the jealousy of God against their adversary. They had passed through a Red Sea miraculously, and now they were on the other side. And notice this here. It says when. It says when Miriam had begun to sing and shake this tambourine, she said this: the Lord has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is exalted. That should be the key to your worship. Glorifying and exalting the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It isn't about Derek Jones or so-and-so worshiping. I know I may worship different than you worship. Amen. But the key to this, you hadn't worshiped God until you've exalted His name in a service. Amen. You can call it what you want. I've read hymnology. I've taken a Bible course in hymnology. Thank God for what is there. But if you've gotten to the place, it's just words in a hymnal, I'm telling you, you ain't worshiping God. If you got to the place that you're waiting for everything to be just like you want it, you have yet to worship God. You've got to rise up out of your deadness. You've got to rise up out of your preference. You've got to step into the Holy Ghost. And you've got to know that God has a blessing and wants to strengthen people and His name exalted through you. Greatly. Is it great as His name? He has hurled the rider into the horse and the rider into the sea. So here Miriam is playing a timbrel, dancing before the Lord, and the other women with her. And there's a few things I want to point out. Miriam had something to shout about. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not being hard, but I have preached in several churches. I've sat there and I have tried my best to say, Lord, how do you get people to worship God? How do you get them to come to church ready to worship God? How do you get them to get into the service, so to speak? And you've been there, I've been there. There's times I've come to church and the Holy Ghost would rebuke me when I'd leave and said, you hadn't worshiped me. You hadn't exalted my name like you should. You came there, you got your devotional, you had your sermon, you made everybody smile a little bit. I'm telling you, I'd rather put my suit in a good wheel and put my Bible somewhere and get me a good paying job somewhere if that's going to be the case of my life. I haven't come here to please men. I haven't come here to please a woman. I've come here to please God. I've come here to exalt His name. I've come to establish a message in Hampton, Virginia. And I'm going to do that lest I die. Look, you can touch a lot of things in His preference. But when you start touching the things of God, I say, Holy Ghost, rise up and reveal yourself among the saints again. I love it when God just gets on somebody and they begin to worship. And I've heard people say before, what about those who are not used to that? They can get used to it or leave. I will never condition this church after anybody or anything that wants to quench the power of the Holy Ghost. I have been raised in this enough where I've watched people didn't know much about God begin to shake. I don't know what it is, Pastor, they come up to you, but it's all over me. It's in my heart. I can't stop crying. I can't quit worshiping. I know my circumstances says no, but my heart is screaming yes. And I said, you know what you do, ma'am? You know what you do, sir? You don't listen to your circumstances. You can't worry about yesterday. You can't change it. But if your heart's screaming yes, and the Holy Ghost is saying, come on, won't you give yourself to it? I've watched God touch men and women, change men and women, because that's what He desires. I've watched some of the most sophisticated men, when the Holy Ghost gets on them, you know, they had a strut to them. They just had a walk about them. I mean, they wouldn't have a wrinkle. They kept their chest up like this. It hurt my back walking like this all day. They'd strut around and he said, man, they're sharp. Look at them. I like your shoes, man. I like your coat there. I've watched when the Holy Ghost messed that nice hair right up. Come on. I watched with the whole. Brother Silver's at the old church. You can call it God or not. I know it was God. I was there. 7-week revival. His wife went and borrowed a pair of burgundy shoes. Wouldn't wear them myself, amen. But a pair of old burgundy shoes. And you know what? She said it would happen that right when I buy him a new pair of shoes would be the night that he reestablished the name Holy Roller in this church. He left there, the end of his shoes was scuffed off. I've heard somebody say, well, the Holy Ghost wouldn't mess your shoes up. I said, who cares about your shoes? Come on now. Think he's worried about the little bit of stuff on the end of your shoes? He don't care about your shoes. He don't care about your hairstyle. He don't care about... He'll keep you decent. I do believe that. But I'll tell you this. He cares about getting you in a deeper world. He cares about convincing you of His love. He cares about showing you His affection. Our God touches us and helps us. She had something to shout about. This isn't just prancing around just because the music is going. And then she stops when the music stops. She's full of joy. She has been delivered. I would ask you a question today. Does anybody else other than Miriam have something to shout about, to worship about? My friend, I'm telling you, you do if you're born again. Miriam, I know that God touched Miriam here. I know she's having her time in the Lord. But I was reading this, I got right jealous. Amen. I said, man, you know what? I've come through a Red Sea. I've seen deliverance. I've been born again. I can raise my hands, clap my hands, stomp my feet because God has delivered us. Some of you about to get it. You're still a little tight on me. Amen. I'll just tell you, I come from a word from heaven. If you don't like it, take it up with the sweet Holy Ghost today. Amen. You know what? She got emotional. Emotion. You mean she actually showed emotion? You better believe she showed emotion. Man, you'd have to be a robot not to get happy about this. You're dead as a doornail. If talking about the things of God don't excite your heart. Yes, she got emotional. Now, I understand. Look, I want to clarify here. I understand there's a lot of corrupt worship out there that's really stepped out of bounds. And I've seen what is called emotionalism, how it's flooded the church. Emotionalism is basically a reaction based on human sentiment and feeling. It's completely reactionary to your feelings and emotions. But I'm telling you, when you get excited about God, it's all right. Amen. Emotion. You cannot disconnect your worship from your emotions. If so, you won't worship. But I love it when I'm weeping before the Lord. Oh, God, I feel I'm here today. I feel like an evangelist this morning. I don't know why, but I feel like preaching like I don't even know you. Amen. I just feel like preaching to God. Amen. Reminding them, look, I tell you, I love when I can't help but cry. Anybody been there? I love it, brothers and sisters, when I'm driven to my face in worship. I love it when there's been several times God will move on me. I'll run a church out. Maybe I'll run one this morning. Maybe it'll work. Break things up a little bit. Amen. I love it when God has overwhelmed me and I couldn't stand there because His goodness was testifying to His. He was singing over me. Amen. With love. As you read in Zephaniah, I knew His love. I knew He was there. I rejoiced in my spirit and all that showed up on the outside. Amen. I'm telling you, she lived in bondage and now she lives in liberty. How can you not help but worship? Anybody else know what I'm talking about here? Man, I'm telling you, bros, I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, Lord spoke to my heart this week preparing for this. Getting on me now. The Holy Ghost will get on you. He'll talk to you. We've got to do something about our worship. And I ain't telling you to react a certain way. But I'm telling you this, let it come out your heart. And look, brothers and sisters, I wish everybody would stay. I don't like people leaving and I want more people to come. I know that. But I'm telling you, I cannot sit here and act like a prune to get somebody to come to church or stay. I can't do it. I've got to let God help me. Amen. I know you can hear discouraging news and it can try to vex you. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has been so faithful to me that times I won't even expect in that blessing. I walked in and God touched me and touched me in such a way that I was blessed and blessed indeed. You know what blessed indeed is? It's not only will you get blessed, but somebody else can tell you get blessed. You ever left church and said, so-and-so got a blessing, praise the Lord. You ever been there?
I'm telling you, God moved on them. And the reason it did you good, because it did them good. And you're part of the same church. And we leave and say, Sister so-and-so, I've never seen her do that before. Amen. Brother so-and-so, I've never seen him cry like that, or shake like that, or run like that. I've never seen it like that before. And what it is, you're excited because you know that heaven had touched earth. And you know it's so beautiful to know this, that when that happens, that something's going to happen in your life. Notice that she encourages others to join her. She says, sing ye to the Lord. She wasn't just happy shaking a tambourine and having a solo. She said, no, sing unto the Lord. I see her looking at the young ladies and say, get your tambourine, girl, come on. I see her looking at the sister over here. Come on, come on, let's worship God. She was so contagious. She's got others to worship God. All right, I'm preaching to us now. I'm going to talk to us. I'm going to cover every age. I'm glad for the saintly old ladies in my old churches that I've been to that have come right up on you, led of the Holy Ghost, and said, sweetie, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you're sitting there scratching, I'm going to get embarrassed. You know, what are they going to say? I'm glad for them old men that would pray through. My Lord, they pray through. Not only pray through, they prayed up and they pray out at the same time. Amen. I love when they get a hold of God and they come stand and they wouldn't even ask you. They won't cordial about it. They won't come. They pray right in your business. Have you been filled since you believed? And I remember they come right up on you. Amen. Get right in your business. And all you could do is get an honest opinion. Next thing you know, they have your hands raised. They pat you before him, and they tell you it's for you, son. Worship, worship. Miriam was an old, saintly woman, 80-something years old, telling the young ladies, sing you unto the Lord. Worship God. We need it again.
Need it again. Amen, amen. I ain't out of words. I'm trying to follow the Holy Ghost here this morning because we need a breakthrough. I ain't telling you how it's got to happen. But I know one thing. When you hear from God and you know what's stirring in your spirit, I can't just go through 4 points without talking to you from my heart. Now, it's just the way it is. Got to tell you what I feel in my spirit. Some of you have been a little reserved ever since I've been here. Some of you need to press on. Some of you, come on, understand what I'm saying. God's wanting to move you deeper. I hope you don't think you've gotten anywhere yet, because God will push you out in waters you can't swim in. Come on now. You'll be screaming for a life vest without the Holy Ghost. You'll be asking God for strength. You're so content being in the loins and being at your ankles. God's trying to push you out in deep waters. He said, come on, son. There's waters you can swim in. There's waters that's over your head. I'm glad to know now. Ever since I had the Holy Ghost, I've been doggy paddling, just keeping my head up. And I know it's deeper. I know it's further than I've been yet. But I'm going to keep on diving, keep on praising, keep on worshiping till I find out, until we get to glory. God's wanting to take you deeper.
Amen. You ever notice your ankle deep water? You're still in control. You get loin deep, you're still hanging on. You get on out there in that recreational water. What do you mean by that? I mean you're out there. Amen. It's over your head, and you know that it's deeper and bigger than you. The Holy Ghost is bigger, He's deeper, He's stronger, and He wants to take control. Who are you to tell Him what He needs to do? Amen. Me and Brother Woods had a conversation a few years ago. Can I be honest with you? I'm going to tell you an experience in my life here. I'll be honest with you. I got to a place. I was so frustrated with hypocrites. Hey, man, I was so sick of watching people shout and live like the devil. I was frustrated. People claim to have the Holy Ghost. And I mean, they do everything else. And you were shocked. They have the worst attitude. And I'd go to church. I'll be honest with you. I'd sit in church. And I wanted to get in. I wanted to praise God. I'd go to church and they're running around, clapping their hands. I thought to myself, man, you live like the devil on Monday and you're shouting on Sunday. It bothered me, to be honest with you. I'd go around different areas. I see emotionalism. Amen. I watched it. When the music stopped, they stopped. Now I understand. Thank God for good music and how God can inspire us and strengthen us. It is a medium in our lives. We've got a channel in our lives where the message comes. It helps me. It's wonderful. Thank God for good music. But I'm telling you, some were just getting so out of bounds with it. And I remember praying, and one day I was talking to Brother Woods, an elder, a conversation we had. And he said this, you know what, Brother Derek? He said, where you are right now, I was there 20 years ago. I said, you were? I was like 5 years old, man. He said, I was frustrated with it. He said, matter of fact, he said, I began to think to myself, is this stuff real at all? He said, but then I began to realize something. He said, the Holy Ghost would move on me. And if you don't know Brother Woods, look at him here to preach one day. You won't find a more exuberant and excited man about preaching the Bible. I mean, he's giving you Greek definitions and shouting the whole time. It's just amazing. I would put you right to sleep. He puts it, makes it pleasurable. You enjoy it. You're like, please, give me some more of that. He's excited. He sounds like one of them old trains. It goes, and you know, boy, he's getting wound up, and God's on him. He's about to bring the word from heaven. He'd be over there by himself, amen. I prayed with him 5 in the morning, or 6 in the morning. From 6 to 7, we go to some prayer meetings. I looked over, men are dozing off. He's over there shouting all by himself. I'm like, man, if you got it at 6 in the morning, you got it. I'm over there, I've got a Jehovah Jireh, Lord. Provide energy. Old Brother Woods is over there. I mean, he's having a... You would think he's all by himself. I've learned this about Brother Woods. He told me this. He said, years ago, I come to that conclusion. What do we do? He said, I come to this conclusion. I'm not going to let them have it. He said, if you let people like that, he said, they'll completely stomp out the joy of the Lord in your life. Now, hear me. You need that joy in your life. Amen. Put it this way. Your kids need to see that joy in your life. I've watched dead men try to raise dead sons. I tell you what you get. You get a dead bunch. I've watched dead women try to raise dead daughters. I tell you what you get. You get a dead bunch. But I've watched men and women. I know you can't help everybody in what they do. But I'll tell you this. If they go and leave, let it be over the joy that is in your heart. Let them leave their sand. Look, I don't know about everything out in this world. But I will tell you this. There's something real within that church. There's something real within that heart. There's something there that is strong and powerful and anointed. We've got to have a worship in this church. Man, we get so concerned about everything. Man, it's almost like you become traffic cops, you know. Oh, I hope they don't do this, or I hope they stop there. Or, what about so-and-so across the aisle? Look, it ain't your job to sit and control everybody in the church. It's your job to worship for God and God alone. Amen. I'm a preacher. We're going for it. I'm going to do a mock interview. I ain't done this in a long time, but since I'm feeling good, we're going to do it. A mock interview. I'm going to talk to Miriam. Now, just imagine for a moment. I'm there at the Red Sea. The way the river just closed. You know, they're singing the song. Miriam's out there shouting, shaking a tambourine. And I wish if we could interview Miriam on that shore, I would go up to her. I'd tap on her shoulder and I would say something like this. Miriam, why are you shouting? Why are you worshiping? Why are you dancing? Why are you praising and playing the timbrel? Why are you shouting, Miriam? What makes you so excited? Do you think it's a little much? What's going on, Miriam? Why are you shouting? And she looked back at me, a little out of breath. Well, son, I'm 80-something years old. And 80, something like 80 years ago, my mama found out she was pregnant. It would have been good news, but Pharaoh had given a decree and said that all the male children had to be killed and thrown into the river and killed. And when Mama found out she was pregnant, man, we all began to worry and begin to cry. And then all of a sudden the time came, and this is how it happened. Mama had the child, and guess what? It was a little boy. It made us even the more nervous. We were scared, and so Mama said, you know what? Let's hide the child, that nobody can find her. And you know what we did? We hid the child there in the house and got to a place that we couldn't hide little Moses anymore. He was crying. He was growing up. And he was just getting too loud. And we didn't want to get in trouble. So what we did, I watched Mama and Daddy with tears running down their face. They began to make a basket. And they put pitch on the inside and pitch on the outside. And they told me, Miriam, I want you to take your little brother Moses down to the local river. And I want you to put him out there in the water. And we're just going to have to trust God. And Miriam said this, Brother Daddy, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do. I took him down there. I put him in the water. I didn't know if I'd ever see him again. But I watched God work. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You ever put, but God? But God? I watched, Brother Derek, you wouldn't believe it. The chances of his survival is slim. But that, it's just like the current change. And little Moses floated right up to the princess's palace. She took him out of there. She began to cry and say, he's such a beautiful child. I'm going to raise him. She said, I've got something to shout about. She said, if that wasn't good enough, I went up there to the palace at the risk of my life. And I asked Pharaoh's daughters there. I said, Pharaoh's daughter, can I find a Hebrew mother that can nurse Moses? She said, sure, go right ahead. I went back home. I knocked on Mama's door and said, Mama, you'll never believe it. But by you, I want you to come. She took Moses back with her. Amen. Here it is. Maybe she took Moses with her. Knocked on the door. And Mama said, what happened? And she began to tell her, you know what? I believe Moses, Mama. Maybe she shouted. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If that wasn't good enough, Pharaoh's daughter paid for his Christian education. Because she weaned him up to like 4 or 5 years old when you study it. And I believe the whole time she's rocking that baby. Now Moses, you ain't a Hebrew. I mean, you're not an Egyptian, you're a Hebrew. And look, I'm going to tell you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe Daddy called them out little patriarch stick figures. I don't know. And said, look, we're going to get this in your mind before you leave here. And Miriam would have said, I've got something to shout about. Because I know of God's providence. Amen. Who else in here today could say, you've seen the providence of God work in your life. When you didn't think it'd work out for you, it did work out for you. When you thought the door was going to be closed, God opened it up. When you thought the devil was going to win, you find out that God was able to handle it, gave you victory. Thank God for His providence. I've got something to shout about. Not only that, what about God's provision? Here it is. Miriam looks at me. Says, Pastor Derek, not only was that good enough, but things got worse. They began to beat us more with whips. They began to afflict us in Egypt. We needed a deliverer. And you know what? We needed to be delivered. We need a deliverer. We cried out to God. And God raised up Moses, trained him in Pharaoh's palace. And then we know trained him in the wilderness for 40 years. God set a bush on fire and in turn set Moses on fire spiritually. And God sent a deliverer. Not only did we need a deliverer, we needed a deliverance. Amen. Now that we had a deliverer, I bet she's sitting there. She's talking to me, temporal in hand. She's out of breath. She's been worshiping God. And she said, I still, point number two, I had God provided for us. He brought us out of Egypt. He sent 10 plagues. And not only did He do that, Brother Derek, He protected us. The last of the 10 plagues was the worst of all. God was going to slay all the firstborn in the land. But God protected us by giving us instruction. She said, I got something to shout about. I'm going to shout about the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Anybody else here appreciate the blood of the Lamb? That ought to be enough to move you, shake you, motivate you, educate you, strengthen you, deliver you, all because the blood of the Lamb. Man, come on now. I've been in churches, you could preach certain subjects and you couldn't get them quit saying amen. I've preached against standards, boy, and I've had them stand right up in that corner. Come on, Pastor. Come on. I've watched them sit in corners like this the whole time, and I'm like, what is he doing? Preach holiness to us now, brother. Preach about the blood of the Lamb, they doze off on you. Oh, yes. I'll tell you this, you ain't nothing without the blood of the Lamb. Don't you tell me about your salvation, how clean you are, unless you were dipped in that blood. And I'm glad that blood was strong enough that when it happened, it touched us and changed us and made us what we needed to be. I can shout about the blood of the Lamb. I cannot help but worship thinking about the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Christ, we are delivered from the wrath of God. Point number four, I believe here Miriam is. She's still testifying to us. And said, Brother Derek, I ain't going to keep you much longer, but just because you asked, I got to tell you. You ever had somebody you get told to testify? 2 hours later, you're like, man, I knew a guy at Spalding Road Church of God. And he'd be out there. I'd look out the window. I said, oh, no, he's here, Holly. I knew when old Ferguson get a hold of you, you won't coming out for a while. Hey, man, I remember seeing out the window, he'd come knocking on that door. I'm like, oh, man. I mean, he done told me about everything that could happen, but he just likes talking about God. That's all right. You know what I'm saying? Amen. But I'm telling you, he'd hem you up, buddy. He'd get you there, and he'd come. I said, "How you doing, Ferguson?" He said, "I'll tell you about the time I went to Israel." I'm like, "Here we go." He said, "I got right on a boat, and I told them Jews they needed to get born again." I mean, it was amazing. He was a brave guy. He said, "I grabbed the speaker right on the Sea of Galilee and began to tell him." I said, "That's good." And he began to tell you about something else. I believe Miriam is talking to us. She tells us, since she asked, "I'm going to testify." Amen. She said, "Not only God's provision, God's protection, but let me tell you about God's power. I'm telling you, we were delivered by a strong hand. We went down. We ended up being at a dead end, at a Red Sea mountains on both sides. And we had Pharaoh and the greatest army behind us, swords glistening in the sun. We knew that there wasn't a way. But all of a sudden, I watched my brother Moses lift up a stick and a wind began to blow and it took all night. But I looked behind me. There was a fiery pillar and I knew that God was protecting us. And when Moses said walk, I thought I was going to walk and get my pretty shoes muddy and get my and all this. No, sir. I thought the carts were going to get stuck. I walked and dust was behind us because it was dry land. I've got something to shout about, is what Miriam is saying. Hallelujah. About this time, she takes off shouting. But I've got a question for her. Miriam, come here. Come here, Miriam. Yeah, Brother Derek, what do you want? I got one more question for you. What's that? Look around. What do you see? You ain't a wilderness, Miriam. You ain't got no food. You ain't got no water. You don't have no homes. What I'm trying to say, why worship now when you're not where you're going? That's the theology of a lot of preachers. My God, help us here. Don't worship God yet. Don't worship God yet. Get there. Now you worship. I'm telling you, I worship as soon as I came out of the valley. I worship as soon as I came out of sin. And I probably looked a little silly because I didn't really know what worship was. My friend, you ain't got to wait. Have you come to the Red Sea? Have you been redeemed? I'm telling you, let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It didn't say let the mature or let the greatest or let the most magnificent. No, if you're redeemed, you can lift your hands. Praise the Lord. You ain't got to compare yourself to a brother beside you or a sister beside you. You can praise Him. And God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm not in the hand of the enemy anymore. I'm in the palms of the Almighty. I can worship God. Why worship, Miriam? You're in a wilderness. You ain't got the promised land yet, you know, where there's milk and honey and all those big grapes and everything. You out here, you ain't got a house, Miriam. What you doing worshiping? Miriam, look at you. All you got's a tambourine. They ain't got no... Well, you can eat the tambourine when everything's said and done. I just picture old Miriam and said, "Son, sit down. I'm 80-something years old and I've been through this before. Let me tell you something, boy. Not only did God give us provision and protection, not only did we see His power, but we've got a promise." "I have a right to sing redemption songs, son, because I've been redeemed. And no, I'm not there yet. But if God needs to bring manna down from heaven, He'll do it. If He needs to take old dry rock and let it follow you around and pour out gallons and gallons and thousands of gallons of water, He'll do it. He'll open the Red Sea, son. He can make the Red Sea come from the heavens if He wants to. What do you? I've got a reason to shout. Yes, I'm still in the wilderness. Yes, I'm in a dry place. Yes, I don't have everything I need. Yes, I'm not where I need to be 100% trying to grow, trying to learn. Yes, I know that. But Moses has a promise. There's milk and honey up the road. If I stay faithful and listen to the man of God, yes, I'm not there yet. Yes, I may not see it yet. But I know that God told Moses there's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And if I follow God and obey God, I can make it. I have a reason to shout. In turn, let me give you Miriam's great response. Miriam, why are you shouting? Son, why ain't you shouting? Miriam, why are you shouting, lady? Boy, why ain't you shouting? I would say to you today, church, why ain't you shouting? Now, I'm not telling you to respond by a certain way or certain, I'm telling you this, out of your heart
If you praise God and let Him have His way in your life, that's what true worship is. It may not look like our worship. It may not look like your neighbor's worship. But if it's out of your heart, God will look at it as beautiful incense from heaven. We have plenty of reason to worship. Providence, provision, protection, power, and promises. You have a right to sing redemption song. When you feel that impulse of joy from the Holy Ghost in your heart, the Lord wants you to rejoice. Stand to your feet this morning. I preach what God has laid on my heart to the best of my ability. And I'm not asking you to do anything special for me. I promise you. I'm not asking you to do anything for Derek. I'm asking you for God. Where's your worship? Where's your heart? I want you right now. Please go with me in your minds. Feel the breeze of the ocean on your face at the Red Sea. Look around and see the men that have tormented. How many of you can look back at your sins, how it tormented you? The wicked person that you had become, the perversions that you were in, the addictions that you had. How many can look back at the devil and knew how he tried to destroy your marriage and your family and your mind and pull you down, and you gave in, and you yielded, and the enemy attacked your mind. But you know you've repented. You know you're through the Red Sea. You know God has delivered you. How can you not worship? I don't care how you're trying to explain it away in your mind right now. Well, I'm not emotional. I'm not that type God. I'm not that person. I'm not that type woman. I don't care how you say it. You ain't got a reason not to worship. You need to worship God out of your heart. Can we do that for one moment right now? I just want you out of your heart. Worship God. Please, out of your heart. You ain't got to respond to so. I just want you to respond the way God wants you to. How many?